Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. I'm Dan Scogin, Director of Government and Industry Relations for AURI. Guests on the Ag Innovation News Podcast will shed light on innovations in value-added agriculture, highlight important voices and work that's being done throughout Minnesota and the ag sector, and educate the public about resources and organizations that support Minnesota agriculture. Today, we welcome Al Daring, the Senior Scientist of Co-Products. Al works out of the Co-Products Lab in Waseca, Minnesota. Al, welcome to the podcast, and let's just start with your own bio and your own background on your work history as you came to AURI.
Well, thank you, Dan. And as you mentioned, I'm Al Daring, Senior Scientist, and I spend most of my time located at AURI's Waseca facility, where I manage the Co-Product Pilot Lab. And Dan, a little bit about myself and my background. I've been with AURI for 22 years, and I come from an ag background. I'm still actively engaged in farming. Grew up on a diversified crop and livestock farm, and continue to do that to this day. And what's nice about that is it keeps me very in tune with some of the hot topics, some of the current trends that are going on in the ag industry, along with a handle on always looking for value-added opportunities that may come along with agriculture. Prior to my 22 years at AURI here, when I came out of college, I worked for Farmland Industries as a livestock production specialist, spent about 8-9 years doing that, focusing primarily on livestock nutrition, dealing with a lot of different feedstuffs and commodities, balancing rations, doing a lot of integration work, working with producers as they expanded. And then spent a couple years with DeKalb Genetics, which was a very interesting job, focusing primarily on soybean plant genetics and crossing and so forth, which then led me to AURI. So I've been here ever since, Dan.
And I know, Al, this will be a little easier for me because I know you personally, but you and your family are still actively farming, is that right?
Correct. Still doing the crops and livestock. You know, we are in southern Minnesota, so it's primarily corn and soybeans. But what's unique with livestock on the farm, and those that have livestock are familiar with this, you know, we're also involved with alfalfa production, oats production. And then where we're kind of unique is we have sheep on our farm. You know, and growing up, we always had beef cattle and swine, and then we migrated to the sheep side. So we're still involved.
Excellent, Al. I appreciate that backgrounder as we get started today. But we're going to have to do some definitions, I think, too, because we talk about co-products and we understand it pretty well at AURI. But as a senior scientist in co-products at the Waseca Lab, let's just start maybe with some definitions there. What is a co-product and what is its role in value-added agriculture?
And that's a great question. Dan, I always enjoy answering this one because a lot of people that come to us for assistance, they'll refer to waste streams or byproducts, and those are good descriptions for certain materials. And we do work in that area. But we like to focus on co-products, and there's two examples that I tend to use frequently. And one is with ethanol production. And when we produce ethanol, obviously it's coming from corn, and ethanol is the primary product. But the co-product that is also produced with that ethanol, so the secondary product, is the dried distiller grains, which is a high protein, nutrient dense co-product that is then used as a feedstuff for livestock and poultry. The other example I like to use, you can go to the biodiesel side, you know, where you use oil, whether it's from soybeans or a number of oil seeds to produce your biodiesel, which is the primary product. The co-product is glycerin because that comes from the side stream. And we've had various projects over the years trying to add value to the glycerin, finding new homes for glycerin. So that's a co-product. But don't forget, Dan, there is some negatives to this job. Co-products can also involve fish waste. And I just had to throw that out there because some co-products are easier to deal with than others. Fish waste, we've done various projects with that because of its fertilizer value. But that one doesn't tend to smell as nice when you're working with it.
I've heard stories coming out of your lab, that's for sure. Al, when we talk about any, is it safe to say or accurate to say that when we talk about an egg process, there's always a co-product? You're finding out is whether or not there's value in that co-product?
Correct. So, and Dan, I think you're right. I'm scrambling to think of a process where there isn't a co-product or a waste stream or a byproduct where you can add value to it. And some examples of that, even in the food processing sector or industry, you know, obviously the outcome is it could be frozen vegetables, it could be canned vegetables, you know, a variety of things. But even with those processes, you end up with a co-product, and oftentimes it is a waste product. But we've worked with companies over the years to look at that waste product and say, hey, how can we add or capture additional value from this rather than paying a disposal fee or send it to the landfill? And one example of a food waste product is oftentimes you can send it to anaerobic digestion, capture the potential it has to generate methane, and gather value there.
So within that context of always exploring the co-product and the waste stream for value, talk more about your personal role as a scientist at AURI in regards to that co-product development. What does your role look like in that whole value chain?
Well, Dan, you know, and this is what brings joy to this position. One thing where it's very unique and where I'm very fortunate is every day is different. You know, in my day-to-day activities, they generally involve pilot lab activities and managing the pilot lab, scheduling clients to come in. And what we'll do is we'll work with entrepreneurs, we'll work with industry. They'll have an idea and we'll help them to develop either a new product or what we oftentimes don't talk about enough is we aid them in improving a process to make them more efficient. You know, and we have many ways of doing this. You know, the unique thing about AURI is we focus on applied research and development. You know, with the labs that we have to offer, we can provide hands-on scientific assistance. So clients can actually come in the lab once we've done the development work and see just exactly how we formulate the product, how we produce that end product, the steps involved. Or if it's with improving a process, we work with a variety of companies where they'll actually bring equipment into our lab for us to use to demonstrate. If that is successful, then we bring in the companies to view how a certain process can improve their facility, the efficiency of their facility, or it may improve actually the characteristics of how a product performs. And one other thing I wanted to throw out real quick, Dan, for our listeners is some of the areas that we provide assistance in so they get a clear picture of what do we do here. And it ranges. You know, one of the things we most recently added was a food grade pilot lab. We were getting so many requests for food grade oil, which we can extract here and filter in our lab. So the need was there to develop a food grade inspected facility to provide that to be used in on the human side for trials and research. We offered cold oil pressing and filtering, which I mentioned, but some other new additions is seed cleaning. As we look at new cover crops or new oil seeds, one of the areas AURI has done a lot of work with is addressing how do you store these materials, what's the proper moisture, and then how do you clean them? How do you dehull them? What's the most efficient method for cleaning these seeds? So that's a whole nother area we added. We do fiber decortication. That really came to play about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we started working more with hemp fibers and natural fibers. It may also be flax fibers. And we have a variety of milling technologies, drying and dewatering capabilities, various dryers. We've always done that. Water presses. We do a lot with densification. At AURI, we have a 60-horse pellet mill, along with coolers, crumblers, so a lot of stuff with pelleting, product development in that area. And then the last area we've really expanded is with anaerobic digestion. So our lab in Marshall can actually do some benchtop digestion work, determining what the methane potential is for various products. But as you scale that up and as you start to blend various materials together to run through a digester, that's what we can do down here in Waseca, as we have two 1,200-gallon pilot lab digesters. So we can document how much methane is being produced, how much CO2 is being produced, the quantity of gas that's being produced from a given volume of feedstuffs that's being tested. And that continues to be a growing and expanding area that AURI can provide assistance.
And as you go through that checklist, Al, I mean, our listeners might be envisioning a 160-acre complex of laboratories and scientists running around and doing all of this stuff, but it is a very compact and efficient operation down there, isn't it?
It is, and I wish we had 160 acres. We always were working out of one lab, and we did actually expand, and now we have two labs along with the food grade facility, within about three or four blocks from each other. So that's helped. It's given us the extra space and room to expand. And Dan, we're continuing to look at opportunities to continue expanding to meet the needs of Minnesota, address some of these opportunities. So stay tuned, and hopefully we have some additional good news for you in a year or so.
And I think it's important to point out that you are a pilot lab. When you are in that discovery area, you're able to write the recipe for scale up. So if somebody comes to you and needs to have you find something, you can give them back information that helps them go back and scale up their operation to create the product that they want to create.
You're right, Dan. You know, I always like to share examples. And although we can't always share names, we can share the example. We're in the process of doing that right now. Over the past year, we've been working with a grain milling facility that had an opportunity. Basically, they could not supply enough material to meet the market demand. And that's always a good problem to deal with, unless you're the one generating the material. So AURI provided a lot of engineering services to that group. They're making some big investments in capital expansion, expanding their building, their footprint, to meet a growing demand for the commodity or the grain that they're supplying, which is very unique. Great success story. Another one is a company up in north central Minnesota, where they're processing material, and I know I'm talking vague, but I have to with no names, but they're processing material and they have a co-product or a waste product. One of the needs that they have for their facility almost all year round is for heat. And AURI has worked with them to identify how can you use this fibrous biomass product as a fuel source. And they are retrofitting their current system to take what was once a waste product. They put in the appropriate burners and conveying systems, and they're going to use it as a fuel source to help dry their material, to help heat their plants, to their production plant, to help pre-dry some staging material. So these are success stories. And Dan, that's what makes it enjoyable to come to work every day when you're able to assist companies like that.
I just want to let everyone know that you are listening to the Ag Innovation News podcast presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. We're visiting today with Al Dehring. He is the senior scientist of co-products and works out of the co-products lab in Waseca, Minnesota. Al, you mentioned earlier that the clients come to you with an idea. Is it very often that you find something that the client wasn't even thinking about when they first came to you?
It happens often, Dan, and you're right. You know, clients will come to us, and the reason they come to us, and like I said earlier, whether it's an entrepreneur, it could be a well-established business, you know, is our number one goal is to find a higher utilization of a low-value co-product or waste stream and help them turn it into a profit center. You know, and what we like to see is for that client, increased revenues. In some cases, it may be to lower their carbon index score as we hear more about carbon. And what we really also like to see is additional employment and at the end, seeing their product on the store shelf. But as you said, Dan, oftentimes they'll come to us with an idea and we'll move down that path. But the nice thing is, if there's a better process or a better formulation that they should be considering, we share that with them. And one of the perks that AURI can provide is the vast network we have of collaborators that we work with. So whether it's a feed ingredient supplier, whether it's a food ingredient, you know, for the group that works on the food side, whether it's processing companies, we can align these clients with some of our network to help either improve a current product they have, or we will help them actually reformulate the product they were pursuing to either make it more functional or more cost effective. And Dan, I got to throw one other thing out that is very important with who AURI is and what we do. The unique thing about AURI is when a client comes to us with an idea, it remains their intellectual property. And I think that's critical. And I know that's been very valuable to a lot of the clients that knock on our door seeking assistance. If they have an idea that, hey, AURI is not here to patent their product, but to support them in the development so they can patent it and move it forward. The only time AURI would ever patent a product is if it was something we developed internally.
And the other thing I think listeners should know that if you're thinking about developing a product or a process that you could be subsidized on the cost of coming through our labs as well due to the fact that we have a relationship with the state of Minnesota. And depending on what your revenue stream is in a year, you can get a subsidized rate going into our labs.
And that's an important comment. And the reason AURI did that, as you know, Dan, it's to treat everyone on a fair level. Obviously, if you're a multi-million dollar company, you can probably afford to pay full rate. Where if you are a new entrepreneur or startup company, you don't quite have the funding or the cash flow, cost of our service is based on your net sales. So we like to keep everything even on that level.
I'd like you to think about the whole co-products world a little bit, Al, and talk about potential impact that co-products have on the ag sector. What's that look like in your mind?
Oh, that's one where we could talk a long time on. Obviously, I'm biased because it's the area we work in, but it is tremendous because, as you said, you know, almost every process has a co-product. And you know, I remember thinking this 10 years ago, Dan, where I thought I've seen it all, especially when it comes to running the pellet mill and the number of products that could be pelleted. And it just continues and the interest doesn't slow down. You know, we've done such a variety of projects, you know, where years ago when the ethanol industry was starting out, we did a lot of work with their co-product, the dried distiller grains with solubles, focusing on flowability issues that they were having, which had been resolved. You know, in that case, that was research that benefited an industry. So within AURI, we call that an initiative rather than a client project. And some other industry initiatives that we're currently working on is nutrient recovery and recycling. Because for many of the listeners, they're probably aware that, you know, fertilizer is not necessarily an endless resource, especially phosphorus. And every plant needs phosphorus to grow. One of the initiatives AURI is going to be focusing on this coming year is how can we recover phosphorus from a lot of these waste streams and recycle it or reuse it. So those are some examples of current co-product events going on. But in the past, our impact on commodities, it goes back to the clients we serve. And Dan, I wanted to give a few examples of the areas we work in. You know, number one, I always like to talk about, you know, the four Fs. Number one, we do a lot of stuff with feed, helping companies develop new feed products or looking at how co-products can be incorporated into a new feed product. There's been a tremendous interest in fertilizer. That's our second F. We're doing a lot of work with new fertilizer developments, whether organic or non-organic lines of fertilizer. And then fuel. And fuel is a big topic. In the past, we really focused on a lot of solid biomass pellet fuels. And we still have a lot of biomass fuel projects. But think also of the anaerobic digestion. The whole goal there is to generate methane, which hopefully gets cleaned up and ends up in a natural gas pipeline somewhere. So that's where we continue to see interest. So the third one was fuel. And then the fourth one was food. You know, this was an area we never worked in before, but that's why we built the food grade pilot lab. We were getting so many requests for food grade oil, filtered oil, or if we need to do some processing of grains in a food grade manner. Now we had the capability to do that and deliver that to prospective end users or buyers to test the performance. And then we have just a number of client projects that demonstrate these four areas. One that we've worked with over the past few years was High Island Organics. This is a group out of Winthrop where they're taking their poultry litter, they're drying it. And what's unique about this is they're drying their litter using their own litter as the fuel source in producing a variety of fertilizer products. Right now, as I've mentioned a few times, we're doing a lot of stuff with anaerobic digestion on our pilot facility, you know, looking at everything from dairy manures to food processing waste. We've done a lot of stuff with hemp processing. Alfalfa has been an initiative that we've really focused on over the last 3 years, looking at finding a higher value use for alfalfa. Because as we see the livestock industry decreasing in Minnesota, the acres that used to go into alfalfa continue to shrink. I think they've cut in half over the last 10 years. Well, AURI has looked at, can we extract the very soluble nutrients out of alfalfa, such as the nitrogen, the phosphorus, potassium, And when you dry that, how does it perform as a nutrient source in baby pig diets to replace some of the other high value ingredients such as blood plasma? And we've done various trials with the University of Minnesota, and that's been successful. We've got a project right now with Meadowbrook Ag to develop some organic based fertilizers for lawn applications and garden applications. And then the last one I want to share, which is kind of unique, is the work we're doing with the University of Minnesota and their Forever Green program. This program is focused on keeping a green landscape, keeping cover crops on the land all year round. So in that effort, they're looking at oil seeds that do not have to be sown or planted every year, such as winter camelina and pennycress. So AURI has been diligently working with them on seed cleaning practices, storage practices, but then also looking at the oil characteristics, doing the oil extraction for them. So Dan, that was a long list of different examples, but it shows kind of where the future is going with co-products.
That was a great list, Alan. It makes me want to ask you this. When you look at that list and look at the work that you're doing out of that Waseca lab, are there any areas of co-product development that AURI really specializes in?
And I would say there is, you know, and I'm partial because this is an area that we worked with from the start. But, you know, right now, pelleting and biomass densification, whether it's for a pellet fuel, whether it's for feed, we've seen so many applications come to us. A lot of people reach out to us in Minnesota and the U.S. for assistance on pelleting. You know, where AURI will provide them help is we'll get the product in here, we'll characterize it, you know, what is the protein content, what is the fiber content, all these little things that affect how it will perform going through a pellet mill. But then at the end of the day, we should be able to provide the client with all the data they need for milling requirements before pelleting, how much additional steam or moisture needs to be added, what is the proper pelleting dye to be utilized, because there's a variety of dyes out there, dye thicknesses, to achieve what their goals are. And I always joke, the nice thing about AURI being here to do that work for them is they'll let us make the mistakes. They'll let us plug our dyes, so they're not doing it with a $30,000 dye or breaking a $30,000 dye. But that's one area that's been very well for us and where we can offer a lot of service. But like I mentioned, Dan, we've added so much to that over the last 10, 15 years, from fiber processing to the oil extraction, the anaerobic digestion work, and the list just keeps continuing. One I didn't mention, Dan, was drying. We brought in a new dryer about 4 years ago. That's just been incredible for our clients, where they can send us various materials from food processing waste to seeds, to you name it. And we can run it through the dryer. We can determine how many BTUs or how much energy is required to evaporate off a pound of water. We can share with them in a report the speed or how fast a material dries, which is important to know. Some materials have very bound water, intercellular water that's hard to get out, and it takes a long time drying, and generally at lower temps so you don't damage the material. And some materials dry very fast. And then the other information we can share with them too is if it's a feed product, how does different temperatures when you're drying affect feed quality and the digestibility of the proteins or the nutrients in the feed stuff? So Dan, that was a good addition too that we made a few years ago.
I know you work in a vast network of other cooperators and businesses, entrepreneurs. Is there another co-products innovation facility in the Upper Midwest?
Dan, I used to say there wasn't, and I think I'm at least like AURI. And AURI is unique. And what is most important is that the technologies or ideas that clients bring to AURI, number one, remains theirs. And I touched on that. There may be a handful of facilities that I would say are similar to us, and I mean a handful, you know, because they only address one specific area of either pilot lab assistance, or they only focus on one type of product. Where at AURI here, with the network that we have internally, you know, we can provide the pilot lab services we have here. We have our analytical services in Marshall. We have our foods team, our microbiologists on staff. We provide such a resource for a client being a one-stop shop. And I think that's what makes us pretty unique.
And then how do your clients find you? Is it all word of mouth, or does the network funnel clients toward you? How do they find you?
It is. A lot of it's the network, Dan, what we see. As you know, we do a lot of work with various stakeholders within Minnesota, whether it's commodity groups, whether it's agribusiness, whether it's food processing groups. So many of them are aware of us and they'll reach out to us as they need assistance. Other entrepreneurs, oftentimes it's word of mouth. They've been referred to us by, you know, another client that we've assisted, or they've heard about us and they looked us up on our website, or they get informed about you know, some of the various webinars that AURI is involved in and value-added events, and then they'll follow up, and that's how it all starts typically.
Al, we're about out of time, so I'll leave the last word about co-products to you and your AURI team. What do you want our listeners to remember from today's conversation?
Well, number one, Dan, when I meet with people, I say, boy, feel free to stop in. Feel free to give us a call. If they have an idea, if they need assistance, don't hesitate to get a hold of us. And I think my last thoughts is what makes AURI very unique is our staff and how we're structured. Employees at AURI are here to see Minnesota entrepreneurs and businesses succeed. And I know what drives me every day, Dan, is that vision of seeing a client that we're assisting, seeing their product either in the retail shelf or watching them make a capital investment improvement that is successful to make them more efficient, which is a financially good move for them, and really seeing our clients succeed at the end.
Al Dehring, Senior Scientist at Waseca's Co-Product Lab, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Dan.
We've been visiting with Al Dehring, Senior Scientist of Co-Product Development at the Co-Products Lab out of Waseca, Minnesota. And if you want to learn more about the Co-Products Lab and anaerobic digestion, join us December 1st for the Minnesota Renewable Energy Roundtable, in person at Farm America, just west of Waseca, and we'll include a short tour of the AURI Co-Products Lab. There's still time to register. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you for listening to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Thanks to our podcast crew, Eric Evans, the AURI Director of Communications, and Lisa Martinez, AURI Communications Coordinator and editor of this production. To learn more about AURI or to get registered for the Renewable Energy Roundtable, visit AURI.org.